Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure as always. It's just you and me, ladies and gentlemen. And I, you know, the president delivered his, you know, they didn't call it a State of the Union speech last night. It was an address before Congress. He didn't want to say, you know how the president's usually in the State of the Union come out and say, the State of the Union is good. I guess he didn't want to do that, and now he's required by law to deliver a State of the Union message to Congress every year. The president is and has been required since day one, since the very first president. But he's not required to deliver it in person. It can be written. And in fact, until a few decades ago. It was only just delivered by in writing to the Congress, not delivered, and only in the last few decades has it been delivered on television. But they called it a message before the joint Congress, so it wasn't really, I guess it was a State of the Union without calling it that. I want to talk about some of the things that I saw in his speech that I thought were good, some of the things that I thought were an improvement over past speeches, and some things that I thought were interesting. And then I want to talk about some things that I'm troubled about and blend that into what I'm calling the state of small business. President Barack Obama is an excellent orator. He gives a great speech. He's very good at emphasizing what he needs. He's good with the teleprompter. I've noticed that when he needs to go off prompter, he can do that. He's got a pretty good sense of humor. That's always a benefit to any speaker. And so he did a good job with his speech last night. In terms of the delivery, in terms of his oration, in terms of his attitude, it was good. It was what the country needed to hear. They needed to hear a good speech. They needed to feel that the president is capable, that he's not bumbling around, at least in the way he talks to us. It was more positive. I've been troubled in recent weeks about his attitude and about his tone with the country. His tone has been a negative tone a lot of times. You know, he's when he was trying the stimulus package, he tried to use a little fear tactic to sell that, and that's not good, ladies and gentlemen. We don't need our president to be. America doesn't need our president to sound fearful. We had one of those in the 70s. His name was Jimmy Carter, and few people will argue that President Carter was a good president, because he was not a good president. He was perhaps the worst that we've ever had. And no, I don't know too many people who are nostalgic for the Carter administration. He was a negative guy too, and you know, he's famous for his malaise speech. Well, I'm glad to see that President Obama got the message from some people, and they indicated to him, you know, you need to be more like you are. I think he's a positive guy. I think President Obama is an upbeat guy. I don't think he's negative. I think he's optimistic. I think he's a can-do guy. But he'd lapsed into that a little bit, and so last night did a job of that. And I hope he continues that. I hope he maintains that attitude, because he's going to need that. He's going to need that kind of an attitude and that kind of a sense of humor, actually, in order to deal with the different factions that he's going to have to deal with to get his agenda going, not just the Republicans. He's going to have to use those tools and that attitude with members of his own party. Now, one of the things he talked about last night was something called a new loan fund for entrepreneurs. That's, I took some notes. That's the best I could remember. Is I think that's exactly the way he said it. Well, guess what? I'm glad, I'm ready to hear about it. But we got no details on that last night. In fact, only for that short period of time that he mentioned small businesses and the new loan fund, he also said something to the effect that we'll help small businesses who are trying to do a better job, who are trying to, you know, to make their businesses go. That whole part of his speech lasted about maybe 20 seconds. That's all the small business got last night. And I was not just, I was glad to hear him say some things. I was glad to hear him talk about a new loan fund for entrepreneurs. But that was all. No details. So I was disappointed and we didn't get more details, and I'm anxious to hear more. And the fact that we only talked for a few seconds about small business, that was disappointing. More to come, 20 after. More on the state of small business after these messages. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for joining me there, for spending time on my website and checking out my blog. We appreciate that very much. We appreciate you when you check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That tells me you're looking for answers, and we hope that we have them for you. We think we do. And also, my newsletter is there. You can subscribe to it. We'll give you Well, you can see the free sample. You can send a sample of it. I should say you should see a sample of it right there at on our website, and see what you're going to be getting. And we'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And it is free, like everything else on our website. Thanks to our corporate partners who help us out with that. So check that out, businessadvocate.com. I'm talking about the state of small, ladies and gentlemen. The state of small business is okay. It's not great because we got a lot of challenges. The economy is in a recession. But I'm not really worried about the state of small business based on so much on what's going on right now, because small businesses like me have lived through a lot of recessions. Small businesses made it through the Depression. Small businesses like grass, you know, you heard people talking about grass is everywhere. It's on every continent, basically, including Antarctica. Well, small businesses are like that too. We're everywhere, and we make it. Some come and some go, but basically, small business as a concept, as an idea, as a force, small business is going to be all right, or is all right right now. What I'm worried about, folks, is the future of small business. The state of the future. That's what I'm concerned about right now. And here's why I'm concerned about it. It's all about the worldview of our leaders. And the thing that concerns me right now about the leadership of our government, and I'm talking about our president, and I'm talking about the leadership in both houses of Congress, and that is their worldview. And everything I'm saying is based on what's good for small business and what's not good for small business. And so what I want you to do as you listen to Congress proposing laws and passing them, in fact, as you listen to our president, as charming as he is, as good an orator as he is, as much as we would all like to sit down and have a cup of coffee or a beer with him, and I would too, we've got to, as you listen to these people talking, small business owners, I want you to notice their worldview. Everything that they say, everything that I say, regardless of who you're listening to, your own attitude, the things that you say is largely couched around, framed around, based upon our worldview. Now, my worldview as a free market, fiscally conservative small business owner, that's what I am. I'm proud to say all those things. I'm a free market small business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. That's my worldview to a large degree. Because at least professionally, that's my worldview. And I believe in the marketplace. The marketplace is not perfect. It has a lot of flaws. But you know what? The marketplace got us where we are today. Government did not get us where we are today. Well, let me back up. An awful lot of problems that we have right now, folks, have been as a result of government's inability to perform effectively or to overreach. And so my worldview is really more focused on marketplace solutions. Now, President Obama and the leadership of our Congress, they have a different worldview. Now, they may talk about markets. They may talk about small businesses. They may talk about, you know, not having protectionism, which is the president talked about last day. He said, well, you know, but he actually contradicted himself. He talked about, you know, trade without protectionism, but then he later came back and basically talked about protectionism. He gave us mixed messages last night. But the thing that you have to watch for in everything that they talk about, they being President Obama and Senator Reid and Speaker Pelosi and other leaders, worldview is more around the government is a better solution than the marketplace. I don't agree with that. I completely disagree with that. Do I think that the government has a place as a partner with the marketplace? Absolutely. Do I think the government should be taking the lead in the marketplace? No, I do not. Now, what we have right now, and here's where we're going to find out, ladies and gentlemen, how things are going to roll out. We've gotten ourselves into such a bind from an economic standpoint, from a financial industry standpoint, that it seems that even the really smart people that I listen to, that I trust, are saying that the government is the only entity that can do some of these things. And so because the government is being called on to solve some of these issues, then then some people now believe that must mean that the market can't do these things, and that therefore the government must be the better answer. They're not seeing the government as a temporary stopgap to prop up a few things to help us get back on to a marketplace track. See, that's what I would like to see. That's what I think. Perhaps if you're a small business owner making payroll every Friday, you love being a small business owner, you want the government out of your hair, maybe that's what you want too. But what we're going to have to watch for, ladies and gentlemen, is as we go down this road, where will it stop? When will we start coming back to the marketplace? We'll talk about this more. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm talking about the state of small business, not only the state of where we are, but the state of where we're going and what we're likely to see in the future and what you and I have to do to make sure that our future is as good, it looks as good to us, and winds up being as good as our past has been, because our past has been pretty good. Ups and downs, no question about it. Not perfect, no question about it. But certainly we found ourselves in a marketplace that was relatively unencumbered by government intervention. Well, we're going through a period right now where the government is intervening like crazy. Moral hazard is out the window. Any idea of any restraint at all by government is very, very limited right now. And the government believes, and many people believe, that the government is required to step in and is the savior of the marketplace. Well, okay, that may be true in some places, but I'll tell you what, folks, and I've been saying this to you now for months, actually, how are we going to get the government back out? What is the plan for getting, once the government steps in and virtually nationalizes companies like AIG and other organizations, once the government steps in, now they are even taking common stock in some companies, not just preferred stock, but literally the government is about to have stock in some companies. Now think about that. Voting. Now, that's unprecedented as far as I know in the United States. I may be wrong about that, but I don't think so. voting stock. Now, once we get the government in and things get stabilized, what's going to happen to make these politicians believe that they need to get out? I think they're going to like the idea of being there so much. They're going to become enamored with how successful they've been. They're going to believe, and I promise you, if you saw Nancy Pelosi bouncing up and down off her seat last night, in the Army we call people like that spring butts, always wanting to raise their hand and answer the question. She was definitely a spring butt last night. And if you saw her last night, her being that giddy about some of the things that President Obama was recommending, now that's not a person, ladies and gentlemen. Once she gets completely in the under the tent of walls of our marketplace, once she gets completely under the tent and in control more than now, does she look like a person who is going to say, okay, we helped you out, we got you back on track, now we're going to back out and we're going to let you have the marketplace back? Does she look like that kind of a person? I don't think so. And so it's all about the worldview, ladies and gentlemen. My worldview is market solutions. Nancy Pelosi's worldview, you saw it last night, and others. And I'm concerned that our president's worldview is government has the best solution. And that's the real issue right now, folks. There's two issues on the table right now. Is your worldview that the marketplace is the better solver of problems and the better and is the better solution to creating wealth and prosperity and innovation and America returning to its proper place as a leader in the global marketplace? Is that your worldview? Or is your worldview that the government is the key? Government should be in charge of everything: healthcare, education, energy, the financial sector. Is that, if that's your worldview, then you like what's going on right now, and you like the direction that it's headed. If you don't feel that way, as I do, my worldview is a market worldview. If you believe that, then here's what's got to happen. We've got to make sure that these people in charge, and I don't care whether they're Republicans or Democrats, whoever's in charge, we have to make sure that they understand. Thank you very much for your help, government. But now we can take back our marketplace. And small business owners, big companies can't do that. It's going to depend on you and me. Because believe it or not, there are a lot more of us. And in the aggregate, we're bigger than everybody else. Aggregate altogether. If your worldview, entrepreneurship, if your worldview is taking risks and being rewarded for those risks, and having the ability to create wealth and prosperity, if that's your worldview, you and I are going to have to be very, very vocal over the next few years. We got to run our businesses, and we've got to let them know how we feel. And in my opinion, that is the state of small business this year. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I will see you tomorrow. Thanks for hanging out with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.